welcome to the blockchain.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Henry Rain Show here on WWPR 1490 AM. It's the second half of Monday's Financial Power Block, immediately after Talking Markets with Mark and Andrew. And they cover all markets, but here we're covering the weekly roundup of Bitcoin, cryptocurrency, blockchain news, and more. And what happened this week? Realized Bitcoin market cap. Well, we'll break that down because I don't know if that's really a thing or not. But anyway, they're touting that it surpassed $100 billion this week.
Ooh.
Yeah. Mark Carney, the governor of Bank of England, has suggested replacing the United States dollar with a digital currency. And Circle CEO Jeremy Allaire says China's development of a national digital currency could bypass the Western financial system. You're going to get a theme going here because we're talking about global currency, because the next thing, at least three of Facebook. Zuckerberg.
I thought Nickelback. It's Nickelback and Facebook.
Back. Get back, Facebook. No. Mark Zuckerberg, Zuckerbucks. Anyway, at least three of Facebook's early backers. See, I'm condensing it. More efficient. Facebook's early backers, Facebacks, for its Libra stablecoin. Three of the early backers for its Libra stablecoin are considering withdrawing their support. Oh, and then we have lots more to get to about all those things and more, but who's here to help us? Well, it's that same old theme from 4 o'clock to 5 o'clock to right after 5 with Andrew of Talking Markets with Mark and Andrew, Andy of Henry Rain Show the last 2-plus years. What's new, Andy?
Yeah, same old, same old. It's been a boring. I haven't done any trading, and I took one trade last week. That was it. It's tough market
right now.
It's
a rough life.
It's, yeah.
Well, to help us through this rough life of a Monday afternoon here on WWPR, coming back, friend of the show, cybersecurity expert and cryptocurrency enthusiast, John Sacco.
Genius.
Yes, that. Okay.
Aloha, gentlemen.
Hey, John. How you doing today?
Well, you been hanging with Tulsi Gabbard?
I wish. Actually, no.
What, John? You just, I just lost respect for you.
No. Someone may be listening, but that was not a good comment to say. I'm just speculating.
Yeah, well, that would mean that I would be in Hawaii. That's what I meant.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sure. It's about your travel.
Morning there. Unfortunately, it is a sticky afternoon in Tallahassee.
It's been unbearable down here. When's fall? When's fall coming?
I'm ready.
I am too.
It's next month.
Oh, man. Can't get
and it'll stuff. And by the time you get to November, it'll feel like it. So, we have John Sacco on the line from Tallahassee, cybersecurity expert, cryptocurrency enthusiast, and lots to unpack today besides what we've already talked about. We've got some audio from Joe Kiernan of CNBC. You know, we have Crypto Dad, which is the former CFTC chair, Mr. Giancarlo. We've got Crypto Mom, Hester Pierce on the SEC, and now Joe Kiernan has taken on the mantle of the CNBC Bitcoin advocate. And I don't know what label crypto, just Crypto Joe or Crypto Knibbets, CNBC, is that how you pronounce it, Knibbets?
I like Joe in the morning.
Well, sure, especially now that he's been converted.
Yeah.
You know,
becoming a Bitcoiner.
Pardon me? John? Did I lose John?
Yes, sir.
Oh.
I'm still here. Sorry.
Okay.
Robocallers.
Yeah, right?
All right. Let's get into the news. And, of course, to do that, we would have Greg Allman resting in peace but coming back to help us out.
I tell you, I've got news for you. Somehow your story just don't ring true. I wanna tell you I've got news.
back when I was doing the morning drive, I had about a half dozen or more liners for the news. ELO, you know, here's the news.
I love ELO. What a band.
Then Dire Straits, Dirty Laundry.
Yeah.
And anyway, I reflect.
Those were the days. Matter of fact, my mom's been going through all these pictures, and she got pictures of me from the 80s, and I'm like, oh, my God. I forgot I had cut off jean shorts.
There's websites that they would enjoy that.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Not a site. It was back in the day, though.
The Bitcoin network passed a new milestone this week as data revealed the extent of altcoins losses. According to data aggregator Coinmetrics.io, and you know, when they talk, someone listens.
Yes.
So-called realized market cap has become the latest indicator flashing bullish on Bitcoin. Well, we're all for that. Realized market cap. Have you ever heard that term before? You really? For Bitcoin?
No, not for Bitcoin, no.
Have you ever heard it just before, John?
No, this is a brand new term.
Okay, well, it's an alternative calculation of Bitcoin's market capitalization, which is now at record highs, because I guess we needed a record high, so we needed a new way to calculate it. It's calculated from multiplying the price of each Bitcoin last traded by the size of each trade. And figure for a Bitcoin past 100, it sounds like just the total transaction volume.
Yeah.
You know, it's the price times the size of trade, which would be the amount of the Bitcoin.
It's the realized market cap.
Yeah.
That's what I could understand, is that volume. And then I looked a little more into it, and it looks like it takes into account the age of the coin. So, like, how if the coins are very old and they haven't ever moved and they existed back when Bitcoin was, you know below a dollar, those are steeply discounted in the equation. And so that's why it's much less. It's just now getting to 100 billion, whereas the Bitcoin market cap is well over 150 billion.
So it sounds like, but realize, that would mean like you realized your gain. So why would you discount one that just got traded out of an old wallet?
Well, you're discounting coins that haven't moved in old wallets. And so these coins that were mined and brought into existence and have been dormant for 5+ years, they are discounted because they're not part of the actively traded coins. They're not really even part of the overall market cap, even though the market cap by itself would value those coins at exactly $10,000 a piece. But if we wanted to argue semantics, you could argue that those 1 million Satoshi coins aren't really part of the floating market cap.
It's almost, I guess, what do they call it, closely held shares.
Well, the other thing is, so are they taking the real volume or the fake volume? Because now we got real volume and we got the fake volume from the 10 exchanges you trust to tell you the volume versus the 27,000 that you don't trust to tell you the volume.
Minus wash trading.
And if they're looking at all these addresses, they should know what the wash trade is.
Yeah, you would think.
All right.
I think it's insignificant. We'll see a new market high soon enough.
Well,
in Bitcoin, maybe not anything else, but Bitcoin.
Since before we leave pricing, which seems to dominate everything, but the beginning of each show, but not so much now, because actually, wherever we were last Monday, we swung up $600 or $700 above the price last Monday. We swung about $600 or $700 below the price last Monday, and we're right back where we started.
Pretty much.
And as well as going into Labor Day weekend, so this is a very slow news week, other than the important items that I came across that I knew people would want to have us discuss for them. And they can even discuss in their mind, we just won't be able to hear you. Anything going on with the Bitcoin? Consolidation?
It's just consolidating. I mean, there's nothing to do here. It's got to break consolidation at some point, so... It may be tomorrow. Last night it looked pretty good. I mean, all of a sudden, boom! It's over.
Yeah, we had a flash pump.
7, and then the next thing you know,
$1,000 candle. I'll take those.
Yeah, and next thing you know, it's at 10-2. It's like, what the hell? It's just consolidating. It'll break one way or the other.
John, you got an opinion on this part?
Yeah, this is what I would call intense sideways chop. It's really just we're going sideways, but at certain points we're at 11,000. You know, at certain points we might be below 10. It's clear the market doesn't want to go below 10. There's a lot of pressure keeping it above 10 at this point. We don't know if that's going to hold forever, but it seems to be a nice, you know, cushion of support at the moment, at least.
Yeah, there's a lot of support underneath that. So you get 10,000, I agree with John, is key in this consolidation area. If it takes that out, then you know, you have 9,200, 9,300 right down below. Then below that's 8,500. Will we get there? I don't know, but I'm a buyer there if we do. I'm a buyer.
I think that that's why we're exactly why we're not at 9,000 is because we have so many buyers in the in the 8,000 range. You know, they're just piling in, and so here we are, 10,002. Bitcoin to me right now is acting as an inverse, you know, to the overall stock market in some ways. You know, it's not behaving that way every day. We've seen it go down when the stock market goes down, but you know, when we see heavy volatility in the stock market, Bitcoin seems to be this escape, you know, cushion, if you will, along with gold and silver. And we're seeing a lot of, you know, reactions in the Bitcoin market, I think, to some of the Trump comments, some of the trade war, you know, market actions coming out of this, you know, these major macro elements. I don't know. That seems to be what Bitcoin seems to be behaving as of lately, not necessarily going to be.
John, I think maybe you aren't explicit, but you have stumbled upon the next thing to take Bitcoin to the moon because you were talking about the Trump tweets. We need a GoFundMe campaign raising Bitcoin to send Donald Trump. I would say 100 Bitcoin would get his attention. That would be a good
thing. Yeah.
And we'll manage that, but for a nominal fee. But we will do the GoFundMe. We'll get 100 Bitcoin and send it to Donald Trump. Not that he's influenced or for any ulterior
or
motive that would be questionable, but just to get it to his attention so he starts tweeting about it. He's had like one tweet.
One good tweet from Donald, it's all over.
Mar-a-Lago
starts taking Bitcoin.
Good,
that's it.
Bad.
Right.
Yeah. You know, you get. Are you working that short? Oh, sorry, I know I wouldn't. Nothing for me personally. Let me go back to. Well, when we can't talk about the price of Bitcoin for very long, then you know what we say here on the Henry Raines Show. Let's talk global financial hegemony. And
you mentioned something about Carney.
That's what I was about to go into.
Okay.
Global financial hegemony.
You know the Goldman Sachs alumnus? Goldman Sachs is into everything.
Everybody went there.
You know, they're into China now. They're getting their financial stuff. The deep state is spreading slowly.
We start and we finish with Goldman Sachs, if we get that far.
Oh, okay.
Mark Carney, the governor of the Bank of England, has suggested a transformation of the global financial system by replacing the United States dollar with a digital currency similar to Facebook's Libra. Which is close to what Mark Zuckerberg was thinking.
Take a good idea and run with it. You know, shoot him down and copy it.
He was speaking at Jackson Hole, Wyoming, at the U.S. Federal Reserve's annual symposium, which is a great place to float an idea about getting rid of the dollar dominance in the financial system. Anyway, he said that a Libra-like digital currency could replace the U.S. dollar as the world's reserve currency. So, pal, you think you have problems with President Bush? I think we should just take away all your power and back the whole power of the United States to control the global economy. Carney said that replacing the dollar with a digital currency would be a better option than allowing its reserve status to be replaced by another national currency, such as China's renminbi or yuan or whatever you want to have them. He added that the new, this is in quotation marks, synthetic hegemonic currency would be best provided by the public sector, as in, like, maybe the Bank of England would participate in this, through a network of central bank digital currencies. And, Mr. Carney, we don't have the best system in the world, but until you have another one that we can run.
You know, the interest rates have gone, you know, so low, and the central banks are doing more quantitative easing. Amazing. I don't know how Europe's going to survive this. And I don't know what your thoughts are on it, John, but I don't know how much lower they can go. You know, Japan negative, you know, $17 trillion worth of negative yielding debt. and they're doing more quantitative easing. I think Bitcoin's the perfect alternative to it.
We've talked about this before. You know, it's just the banks talking about these digital currencies. It's too little, too late. The public sector is not going to get off of their, you know, their keisters and just magically put together a great decentralized protocol that's going to be secure enough for people to trust their assets in. And at best, it's going to just replicate, you know, a SWIFT-like system. And there's just no demand for that. The consumer demand is for, you know, hedging against inflation, assets like Bitcoin, cryptocurrency. You know, we forget Bitcoin's been around for just over 10 years. It is a revolutionary, not just an asset, but it's a computer network. And this alien thing came out of nowhere, and it's now sitting at $100 billion and still represents, in my mind, the single greatest investment opportunity of any generation if you consider the fact that it's a network protocol that is also a bearer asset. And it's unlike, there's no other comparison to it. You could say tulips, you could say it's like a stock, but there's only 21 million of these units that can be sent digitally across the world. And here we are at the precipice of all of the central banks coming together and saying, we want to print more cash into existence. And, I mean, I couldn't be more excited with how things are shaping up for the next,
why do we need a central bank digital currency when we have Tether?
Yeah, and Tether's actually got more assets to back it up. there's a case to be made for inflationary currencies. Unfortunately, they burn out. Well, they burn out after a while. I mean, the good thing about an inflationary currency is that it inflates, so it allows your economy to grow. As whereas if you're in a gold standard of that, you can only loan and only if you mine new gold does you build. Well,
there is a negative consequence to deflationary situations.
That's correct. There's negative consequences. So you do need the problem is that the way the whole scheme, for lack of a better word, it really is a scheme, is set up is it removes sweat equity from lower and middle class people and pushes it to the upper class people. Because they take the inflationary currency and buy hard assets with it. Real estate, gold, stocks, bonds even, in the U.S. And, when the recession hits, everybody goes into foreclosure. All the assets they did put into a house now is being bought for some guy by some wealthy guy for 60 cents on a dollar.
And just for the other side of that, back going all the way back to the progressive era and the farmers in the Midwest, when they couldn't get loans, they wanted an inflationary currency. They might not have thought it that way, but that was the only way that they were going to be able to get loans, and that's how we get mortgages, and that's how we get a lot of things. And that's why the Fed is supposed to keep it at 2% to keep it manageable.
Yeah.
And, of course,
unfortunately, they keep digging into the coffers. What's your thoughts on that, John?
Yeah, well, I mean, are we really at 2% inflation when property
values their target.
Are soaring, when school costs are soaring? I really am and hard pressed to find that those inflation numbers are entirely accurate. If they're just looking at the price of a Big Mac that keeps getting smaller every year, you know, to me that's not necessarily inflation when, you know, school costs have gone up, you know, tenfold over the last 20 years and median wages have barely kept up with just the, you know, a 2% rate. So it's very difficult for me to understand.
I think, seriously, if we're going to take the challenge on, if you look at housing prices, because we had the great deflation in housing prices, that is probably pretty close to that over the last 20 years. And it depends on where you live in the economy and what you need, whether or not that's accurate or not.
I mean, you're absolutely right. You go up to Tennessee or up in those areas, you can get a nice house for $110,000, $120,000. The problem is in more in states like California and New York and those areas where the regulations are so stifled that the cost to develop is too high, and so you can't really build. I mean,
well, before we get too far out of the weeds on this particular aspect of this, let's go back to the main thing: the idea of the Bank of England governor challenging the U.S. dollar as the financial reserve currency of the world. And,
you know, everyone's jealous of the dollar. And let's just be honest here. The United States is the greatest economic powerhouse in the world right now. And one of the reasons why the trade war with China is thought to be important, I'm not going to take an opinion on this, but it's thought to be important because it's for economic power. And when everything is priced in your currency, that matters. I mean, in oil, everything has to be traded. That means countries have to buy your stuff, and it makes you more valuable. I mean, nobody's buying Italian, of course, they all, you know, used the Dutch mark and went to the euro. Who wants to buy the euro right now? I mean, look where the euro's down, like 15% since 2016.
Well, they aspired to have a dominant currency, but they don't.
The
bottom line is, someone has to be the empire.
Exactly.
Maybe we'll have a world that's different someday. But there, in the history of mankind, except when there wasn't any empires in the Dark Ages, but then you can look at China and some of the other places in the Middle East. But, you know, something is the empire. Which takes us to the next story. Circle CEO Jeremy Allaire says U.S. lagging behind China's development of a national digital currency could alter the way Western companies transfer payments. Well, that's a minor aspect of what we're talking about. China is setting the pace in development of the digital currency equivalent of fiat currency. Well, we talked about that in the last 2 weeks. John wasn't here for that. But 2 weeks ago, they were saying it's almost done. And then last week, we got a new explanation. It's going to be two-tier. There's a whole lot of wrinkles to the Chinese.
Yeah, but what's it based on? That's the question. Is it just a digital currency backed by the yuan?
What we can really look at is the Belt and Road Initiative.
Yes.
And how they're tying in the developing countries on that project into them. If they can tie enough of them in, then they can try and do their trade in their digital currency. Whether that's going to I doubt its success, at least at this point in time, especially with all the stress that they're going under right now.
I mean, they're holding the yuan up. They're not depreciating it. They're trying to hold it up right now. They're selling U.S. treasuries. They're selling U.S. dollars. They're selling all their inventory of that to hold
the
yuan up.
They're also offering credit to these developing countries. So they can determine how they want to do that.
Yeah.
And so you have thoughts not about what we're just talking, more like on the nuts and bolts of what it's like to be a person trying to deal in the economy, but the struggle between a bipolar world to have the world reserve currency. Do you have any thoughts on that, John?
Well, one interesting thing about China is that with their WeChat platform, you know, the messenger app that they have, they have incredible penetration with the monetary flows, the ability to send cash, similar to a Venmo or essentially free amongst almost all of their internet-connected population. So with that being a app that is, you know, quote-unquote state-approved, China has a significant advantage to leverage that ability for WeChat to integrate with this digital currency. Now, what that looks like from a protocol standpoint, is it going to be like is it going to have specifications for how many are issued, or is it just going to be a black box that the party controls and says, here's the new one? In that case, it's not really a blockchain-based currency. It's just simply ones and zeros and more fiat, but a different form of fiat as opposed to printing it and having it in a more of a, you know, of a treasury sense. It's going to be more digitized. But to me, that's not as interesting as any type of an actual blockchain.
Well, going into a break, we're going to ask the audience to think about where does that leave Libra? We've got Joe Kiernan coming in on that, weighing in.
I think Libra is a whole different thing. I like Libra.
After, well, Joe Kiernan doesn't. You and he disagree.
Well, I like Joe, too, but, you know, we get to disagree.
We will get to all that in just a moment. You're listening to The Henry Rain Show. Things are about to change. Open up the gate. Systems get replaced. Trying to get into Bitcoin but don't know where to start? Byte Federal ATMs make it easy. Safe, secure, and reliable, a Byte Federal ATM introduces you to cryptocurrency investing with a method you're familiar with at a real physical location. If you've ever used a bank ATM, then you're ready to step up to a Byte Federal ATM and start building your digital assets. Located throughout Florida and Georgia, there's a Byte Federal ATM near you. Go to ByteFederal.com to find a location for you. That's ByteFederal.com, and you'll find a real phone number, a real email, and real people you've heard live on the Henry Rain Show.
It's on the way up. It's on the way up. It's on the way up.
Henry Rain Show here on WWPR 1490 AM. If you've been wondering about the schedule for the next Bitcoin cryptocurrency meetup for Manatee and Sarasota counties, we are still looking for a date that's acceptable to the South County Manatee Library. It's probably going to be on a Saturday in October, as they don't have any availability in September. So we will get that rolling for you just as soon as possible. But if you've been wondering, let us bring you up to date on that. On the line from Tallahassee is cybersecurity expert John Sacco. And we also have Andy in the studio here. I said after we had gotten done talking about the Bank of England governor suggesting we should replace the dollar as the global reserve currency, and the CEO of Circle, Jeremy Allaire, saying that China is well on its way perhaps to have an alternative to the dollar as the global reserve. So we get into Libra. It seems like everybody wants to have the currency that everybody wants to have. And Congressman Maxine Waters has said that she went to Switzerland with some of the ranking members, which means it was a bipartisan committee. They went to Switzerland, listened to the different information that the State Secretariat of International Financial Matters, the SIF, you know them.
They're so far ahead of us.
Federal Data Protection Information Commissioner, FDP. Anyway, they got a whole alphabet soup over in Switzerland to regulate the financial markets, but she came away not too convinced to rely on them. Good old USA needs to take this up again. And just a few days ago, she released the schedule for fall of 2019, and they'll be holding some more hearings in the House Financial Services Committee about Libra. Well, that's all well and good. That Libra is having some other problems, though. According to the Financial Times, at least three of Facebook's early backers for its planned Libra stablecoin launch are considering withdrawing their support. The report was a few days ago, August 23rd, from the Financial Times. Two of the founding partners of Facebook's Libra Association have held discussions about, quote, the right next steps.
Well, which ones are they? MasterCard?
They're the anonymous ones.
Because MasterCard just, actually, I don't want to stop.
You can listen and read between the lines.
Okay. Right.
Okay, so because we get a third anonymous one, is purportedly concerned that their public support for Libra will draw unwanted regulatory scrutiny on their own independent business. That's so silly.
Yeah.
Neither party would use that as an excuse to enhance their power. As previously reported, the Libra Association has 28 members, 10 million to join the club. In an interview with the Financial Times, one anonymous partner noted, in quotation marks, "I think it's going to be difficult for partners who want to be seen as in compliance with their own regulators to be out there supporting Libra." So just keep a low profile. Keep it on the down low. And another anonymous backer.
Anonymity. Creating Monero coin or something.
Giving direct quotes. Some of those conversations about regulation should have taken place before the launch to understand how regulators...
Well, they haven't launched yet.
There wasn't so much pushback. Well, actually, they did have quite a few discussions with different regulators. They went to see the SEC, the CFTC. They're hanging out in Switzerland.
You know, you see this whole thing coming up. MasterCard just hired a whole bunch of cryptos. They're doing a crypto division. They're doing a digital blockchain division. Everybody's going to have their own coin.
Everybody wants to be the global reserve.
Everybody
coin.
Wants to be the, yeah, it's going to be MasterCard or PayPal. It's just one of the two.
Well, the regulatory backlash reached a fever pitch in late July, and Facebook even warned its investors that stablecoin may never be released.
Oh, God.
But not to worry. There are new potential members waiting in the wings to, with their $10 million, I guess, to come to the rescue, including Monex Group. You know.
Monex?
M-O-N-E-X. Monex Group.
That's the gold group?
No, they're the owner of the hacked Japanese crypto exchange.
Oh, yeah.
And the Taiwanese digital currency trading platform, Maycoin. And the Winklevoss twins. I got some audio from them, too. But let's go with Joe Kiernan first. He's not a Bitcoin supporter, as you'll hear right
Joe
now.
Joe Kiernan? Bitcoin
no,
supporter.
A Bitcoin supporter, not a Libra.
Okay, I was going to say.
Thank you for correcting me on that, because I needed it.
I like Joe.
There we go.
Are you on Libra?
I have never understood it. I don't like it.
And I just have to say, the other voice is Andrew Sorkin.
Yeah.
And this is Kelly Evans, who will demonstrate, if we make it all the way to the end of this clip, that she probably doesn't have a clue as to what they're talking about. And so other stuff she's fine with, but not this.
She's pretty smart.
One bit. I don't like it because it's centralized. I don't like it because it's Facebook. I don't like it because everybody gets to keep the flow. And I don't like it because it's like a debit card. I don't like it because it doesn't have any inherent value. I don't like it. I don't like anything about it. Nothing.
I'm not. I don't think of this that problem.
Well, you get yourself a PayPal or a Venmo or something.
I think it's like a stablecoin. That's all it is. It's a stablecoin. And by the way, in certain places, it should actually be very helpful.
Underbanked places.
The thing that's so exciting
about. The ability
about.
To transfer money across borders. Think about an Uber driver who wants to send money back home to some other country, who now is typically going to Western Union and spending a fortune. And
you haven't caught the bug that it's based on a fiat currency, so it solves nothing.
Yeah.
It solves nothing except you get.
Depends on what they're trying to solve. If they just
want to go. So there's people taking it. You think they're doing this out of the goodness of their heart? There's people taking cuts. There's an intermediary. It's not decentralized.
100%.
Mark Zuckerberg's going to steal all your private data and know all about your bank account.
Look, if the fees are materially lower than what the bank
is. How about zero fees?
Here's one for you. Western Union is up 28% year to date.
Okay. We'll stop with Kelly Evans
with
the irrelevant.
Western Union?
Yes. Yeah, she goes. It's the go-to thing when you're in a panel and you don't know what to say to the two people on either side of you about the topic that's germane. Quote a stock price.
Yeah.
That's the way.
Western Union's up 24%.
So, John, is there anything you'd like to add to Joe Kiernan's analysis?
Well, it sounds like Joe Kiernan is going down the Bitcoin rabbit hole, and But what's great is that everybody's been able to watch this as he's been able to, follow logically that these are scams, that's a scam. The only thing that's really not a scam is Bitcoin. And when we talk about stablecoin, everybody wants the next stablecoin. When are we going to realize that 21 million units scarcity until the end of time? How much more stable can you get than that? I understand that it's volatile today, but is everybody really trying to replicate a fiat standard as being quote unquote stable? To me, this is all just a waste of time until we inevitably find out that Bitcoin has been there all along. And all of this will have been for nothing. But I say all of that and I still like Libra because Libra is going to escalate that entire process.
I agree. Yeah. I like Libra too.
A few years less with Libra.
I like Libra. I don't know how they're going to back it or anything, but it is a stable coin. But the nice thing about it is, like what you were talking about with the Chinese, they got the WeChat and all that, is everybody has a Facebook account, or just about everybody. I shouldn't say everybody, but most people have a Facebook account, and if you want to transfer money or something like that, just transfer
Instagram
some Libras.
WhatsApp. They can do that integration across those three platforms and have massive success.
Absolutely.
And expose everybody to cryptocurrency and digital bearer assets and all of these concepts that they would maybe not have been familiar with.
Let's
money in a bank.
Get to the end of the. It's just a little bit more. We'll get to the end of the clip because I have to get to Kelly Evans' contribution, using the term loosely, and get our resident cybersecurity expert here's take on this. Maybe he's heard something since with his ear to that pipeline that I haven't, but Kelly Evans has heard something, and she'll tell us all about it here in a moment.
So the pair trade there
is not working right.
The Facebook Western Union pair trade not working.
The short.
Exactly.
There's something called unforgeable value.
Right.
Antiques. Gold.
Yep.
Things that you can't duplicate.
I thought people were
and that's
saying
how
now.
Bitcoin is different than Libra.
I never said Bitcoin
was like Libra.
But have you talked about how there's apparently they've now established that Bitcoin can be hacked? Not how it will or whether it will, but just that it can be. There's something making it. I don't know. I don't follow.
The blockchain can be.
So I'm told from my Bitcoin guy that they're all paying attention to this.
So what, did he sell everything or something?
I don't think he owns it in the first place.
Oh, maybe.
Just researcher.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
So were you in on that discovery, John, of a Bitcoin that's been hacked, a blockchain that's been hacked?
I didn't follow the intelligent thread of conversation.
Well, we can sum it up. Can you tell us if you know of the Bitcoin blockchain being hacked as opposed to an exchange or some other thing like that?
The Bitcoin blockchain has not been hacked, no.
All right. No. Well, we're going to take your word for it over Kelly Evans.
Yeah.
And
you know, I mean, of course, there's always the potential for it because you only need 50% dominant. You only take 50% over maybe in the future.
Or a quantum computer.
Quantum computing or whatever it is. You know, they can do that. And But by that time, you're probably going to have upgrades to the Bitcoin blockchain. It's going to prevent that.
Well, a 51% attack only attacks Bitcoin temporarily, you know, and it takes massive hundreds of millions of dollars in electricity and in cost just to attack the network for a single moment in time. It doesn't hurt anybody's holdings or people that are, you know, that have Bitcoin. It's only a very temporary, expensive attack, and the network will then react accordingly, and they'll have lost all of their investment if that was their end goal, was simply to attack it, which is why the incentives are so beautifully aligned to say that if you would rather than try to attack Bitcoin, you're much better off participating and gaining profit as opposed to just wasting your profit trying to cheat the network for just a very small moment in time. So the resiliency that people talk about when these theoretical attacks, Bitcoin is so far above that resiliency and stability that these are just these microscopic theoretical attacks that are frankly out of reach of even the most powerful governments at this point. I have more faith in the resiliency of the Bitcoin network than in any internet topology or you know, secure enclave of digital assets.
But John,
far and above it.
John, let's be fair. Now, you've never met Kelly Evans' Bitcoin guy, though.
It's true. That powerhouse would have been
that doesn't own any Bitcoin. He just knows a friend that has a friend.
Why would he want it? He can hack it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I have another bit of audio here that sort of ties in with the thing about how the Winklevoss twins are going to come to the rescue of Libra, along with the Monex group, but that isn't what this is about exactly. You know, it's a bullish signal, or maybe it's the opposite of a bullish signal. We'll leave it to others to determine. When CNN rediscovers Bitcoin, now 60 Minutes rediscovered Bitcoin, and they did a nice piece on it. Poppy Harlow is I guess she reports on CNN Business, not a network. It just seems to be a beat.
It's not a business program.
All right. Well, that it says business.
Yeah. It's like Fox Business. It's not a business program. I mean, I to be honest, the only one I think has any regular is CNBC or Bloomberg.
I'm not an
MSNBC guy.
I like the way the Winklevoss twins come to to be interviewed, at least in this clip. And it may be in other clips. I have a feeling it is. That I don't know which one's Cameron and which is Tyler, but the one on the left wore a different colored jacket than the other one, and then the one on the left had a black T-shirt underneath his sports coat, and the one on the right had a white tie-less dress shirt on. So they were like these visual clues so that when Poppy was there,
he could,
you know, with them look right there looking so similar, she could tell them apart. I thought that was nice of them, actually, to do. But let's hear how this pretty short interview went, and we'll cut it up and dice it and hear as we go.
Warren Buffett, as you know, famously is called Bitcoin rat poison squared. Mm-hmm. Should the average American bet their retirement on Bitcoin, on crypto? My friend's parents in Minnesota or that laid off GM worker in Ohio, is it safe enough for them?
You have to make your own decision, but I think if you start looking at it and digging deep, there's some really exciting stuff coming on. And unlike the internet, which you couldn't buy a piece of, you can actually buy a piece of this new internet of money. So it's been a retail-driven market from day one. It still is. And a lot of people have done really well. And Wall Street's been asleep at the wheel.
Wall Street's been asleep at the wheel?
Totally.
Do you think, though, it is as safe as U.S. Treasury? As U.S. bonds?
It's a different type of investment. I mean, an investment in Bitcoin is like an investment in gold.
Okay.
Like new store of value and gold. But this is a new asset class. It's the future. It is volatile. There's been ups and downs, but we think directionally it's moving in the right direction. And, we had to invest because we were afraid of being of missing out. Like we couldn't miss out on this.
Let's just stop this for a second. Comparing treasuries to Bitcoin. Now, let's just give Poppy some help here. What would be the thing that you would want to compare to Bitcoin if you were trying to give relative safety and versus risk so that someone that really was trying to invest? I mean, you wouldn't say an S&P index fund is as safe as an S&P index fund, but what would you say? What could you compare the risk of investing in Bitcoin right now for the long term?
You have to go gold.
Gold? You think Bitcoin is less risky?
I mean,
more risky than less risky or the same?
It's probably the same risk. Gold has absolutely no value other than what people believe it has the value. And it's all based on supply and demand and what somebody else is, what the market is willing to pay for it. And Bitcoin is pretty much the same thing. Now, Bitcoin, the nice thing about gold is you can hold it. It's physical. You can see it. You can form it into jewelry and wear it around your neck. However, it doesn't have the features of Bitcoin where it can be transferred easily. And, of course, the downside is you can't see your Bitcoin. So you can't hold it. You can't, it's digital. So they both have, I think, one complements the other. And if, other than stocks, I think you own some Bitcoin, you own some gold, and you own some stocks. I don't know.
All right, let's
ask John. He knows.
Yeah.
He's the expert.
John, help out Poppy Harlow for her next time she interviews them. What should she have asked? How should she have asked the question? Is this as safe as X for mom and dad investing for retirement? John, did we stump you?
Okay. I'm sorry.
Oh.
The question is, what is Bitcoin or is it a safe investment?
She was asking how it compared to someone investing for retirement, and she said, is it as safe as treasury bonds? So, I mean, that really isn't a fair comparison. How would you have asked the question to give somebody a relative?
I think they have entirely different risk profiles, being that a treasury bond is essentially, tied to the success or performance of a particular government. Bitcoin, it represents a 0-to-1 increase. And when I say that, I go back to the Peter Thiel book, 0-to-1. But what it really is it is the greatest form of money that's ever been conceived. And Bitcoin has the immaculate conception, which is a term that I'm borrowing from Matt O'Dell, who has the Tales from the Crypt podcast. But it's the only crypto, and it will ever be the only crypto that will have this immaculate conception. It was born in 2009 of the purest origin, and it is here today, and it's functioning, and every single block that goes up is more proof that this thing is going to be around. I don't see anything that can possibly derail its path in absorbing most of the monetary activity that occurs on the internet and even in larger economies.
If this broadcast goes to the wrong group, I mean, John's going to be labeled as the Antichrist. it's like Immaculate Conception will never disappear. Jesus. Well, you got to watch that, John.
You're trying to capture lightning in a bottle.
I like what John said there. I mean, there's some treasuries are only as good as the country that backs them, and U.S. treasuries are considered no risk investments because they're made
in the U.S. the way I look at it is, would you have more faith in the U.S. government being up and running, or the whole of the internet being up and running? So, in other words, you know, what's the risk there that across the entire world that no two computers will be able to communicate and talk about the state of the Bitcoin blockchain? Is that risk higher than the solvency of the U.S. government being in question?
Well, let's put this back to John. How many governments on the planet have the ability to bring down the networks of other governments?
Well, it's a difficult question. You have, you know, undersea ocean cables being laid by China now. It's not simply being controlled by any one nation. It would be incredibly difficult to shut down the whole of the internet, even shut down entire continents, just because of the decentralized network of nature of the internet that we have.
Well, it would be very difficult for me to shut down a rifle that was being pointed at me by someone acting in the authority of the government. So I guess we'll have to leave that one to ponder at a later day. John Sacco is a cybersecurity and cryptocurrency enthusiast that makes his time available to us on
makes us smarter,
regular.
Too.
Well,
I mean, he brings our IQ up at least, combined we're like at 120, you know, he comes on the show, we're at 150.
The show is smarter with him on it, but I don't know if there's any residual effect to him making us smarter.
He takes us up a notch, come on.
Okay, tell yourself that. Anyway, but we appreciate the here making the show smarter. John, we'll talk to you again soon. We didn't get to that one topic that I thought we might before the end of the show, but I'll get with you on that at another time.
Always a pleasure, gentlemen. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, son. Bye. All right. Well.
Yeah. More food for fodder.
Or thought.
Well, yeah, even that, yeah. Yeah, I mean,
it's like,
you know,
is there a question that I can throw at him that he doesn't have an answer?
No,
for?
I mean, he's great, and you know, I'm a free marketist, I'm a free market capitalist. I think if Facebook wants to create their own coin, they should be able to create their own coin and let the market decide. Why does government have to regulate everything? There's no reason for it. If it fails, it fails.
Well, if we don't get off the air in time. We're going to fail. By the way, rerun next Monday, which will be Labor Day.
Yep.
And we'll...
And you enjoy your weekend.
You too. And thanks for listening to the Henry Rain Show.
Tell us that you won't get money.